What's up, Mega Maniacs? It is Monday, July 7th, and we just finished watching this evening's edition of Monday Night Raw, and it is time for us to gather for the only Raw post-show still in existence here on Mega Powers Radio. That's right, it's official. The Raw Backstage Pass is no more. They kept hyping their new show they're going to be airing after Raw, the Monday Night War. Not wars, just war. So I don't know, it actually looked pretty cool. Hopefully people will be listening to us first and checking that out later on demand. But let's get things kicking here on the Raw post show for Mega Powers Radio. We'll be talking about all the events that happened on tonight's show. I'll be the lead host tonight. I'm the station director here at Mega Powers Radio. My name is Mike Payton, and I'm in the middle of a crazy hurricane storm brewing, so hopefully that will not be a factor. Let me introduce the rest of the folks we have here that are hopefully in better climates. First off, the leader of SmarkOutMoment.com, Tony Mango.
Hey, hey, everybody, what's up?
Everybody's collectively saying, not much, you dude. And also with us, the leader of Unanimous Decision MMA and Addicted to Anime here on Mega Powers Radio, Mr. Steven Juego. Or maybe not.
Yo, yo, yo.
Oh, there he is. Okay. Well, smaller cast this evening, and I'm not surprised. It was a pretty lackluster show, but anyone out there, if you have opinions about the show you want to put out there, this is the most interactive post-Raw experience available after all. We have the chat room open for you on the Blog Talk Radio page, or feel free to dial in area code 760-512-7247 is a number to get yourself in line, or you could also use your Skype client by pressing the Skype button at the top of the page. So, I really don't even know what was significant enough to make our first topic for tonight, so why don't we just do this in old-fashioned chronological order from the start of the show. We had Roman Reigns coming out to start the show. He's coming down the audience aisle looking smooth as hell as he's fist bumping people coming down. It's still working for him. He's doing it. He cuts a short promo making his claim that he's going to win the Fatal 4-Way match. Nothing spectacular, but you know, got the job done. He gets interrupted by Kane. The two of them brawl around for a bit, and I think people most took away from this was the fact that we got to see Fit Finlay take a spear from Roman Reigns. Another guy who still got it. Whatever. We saw Roman Reigns and Kane battle for a little bit. I guess the biggest thing that we would want to get your guys' opinions about is Roman Reigns' promo ability. This is really the first time out there 100% by himself carrying that whole segment. What'd you guys think about that, Tony?
He did all right. I mean, he stumbled a little bit here and there. He's not, you know, The Rock yet or anything with his promos, but he used to be a lot worse, and he's making a lot of strides. So I'm comfortable enough with Roman Reigns going out there and cutting a promo. I don't start getting worried when he does. And he's got a little bit of improvement, but he'll get there.
What about you, Wade? Did you dig Roman Reigns' promo he did tonight?
I'm kind of just echoing the same thoughts as Tony. He did a good job. It's pretty much one of his first times doing it. I think less is more from this guy. He's just one of those big, badass-looking dudes that just needed to say a cool few one-liners, get to the point, and get done. So, room for improvement, solid effort tonight, and looking forward to the growth of the Roman Reigns character.
So, to surmise it, good job, scamp. Little punch on the shoulder.
Basically.
Our first match for this evening was the Usos against Harper and Rowan for the 40th time, I feel like we've seen this damn match. The Wyatt family gets the victory in the end. I guess this sets up another tag team match when they face each other, hopefully where the Harper and Rowan team can get the belts. I mean, I'm digging the Usos and all, but it's just time. It's time for them to make a name for themselves carrying that. And there's a big division that they can fight around with lots of people going on down the line. Not that the Usos can't, but they already have. But what do you guys think about our matchup that we had between these two? Wego?
This was actually a really good match. The issue is, I've seen it before, so it's one of those where you applaud them for going out there and giving us entertainment, but it's like, if I miss this, it's not a big deal. I'll catch it next week on SmackDown or something. So overall, enjoyed it, and I hope this is the start of signs that the Wyatt family are going to take the belts.
Tony, what about you?
I still think that these guys do really well together, and I wouldn't mind seeing another match between them because they do typically end up having good matches, but the feud itself I'm tired with. And as good of a match as these guys can get out of each other, you need a little bit more actual story for me to get, you know, really like sink my teeth into it. So if they have another match at Battleground, then it has to be as good or better than what they've had before, and it has to be the last match between them. So with that in mind, I say just keep the titles on the Usos. Don't have a match at Battleground. or if you do, make it on the pre-show.
How long would you keep the titles on the Usos then?
You know what? I don't know. Maybe go for the long haul. Maybe like keep them until like
WrestleMania or something?
Yeah, maybe something like that, because I'm not as big on a lot of the other tag teams as I would need to be able to push them to that level. I don't think Goldust and Stardust are going to be the ones taking the titles from them. I don't like the idea of the Ascension coming up and immediately winning the tag titles. So unless you've got somebody else that you've got in the wings waiting and it's good enough to carry those tag titles, I think you got to keep it on the Usos.
We already got a couple callers in line. Just going to ask you guys to stay patient for just a few more minutes. We're going to be opening up the phone lines around 11:30, so make sure we got you guys in there first. Anyone else who wants to get yourself in line, like I said, we already got a couple people in the queue. Get yourself in there so you can make sure you get your opinions about tonight's show. Area code 760-512-7247 is the number to dial in, or use your Skype client by pressing the Skype icon at the top of the page. We had our first of two Divas matches of the night, Nikki Bella against Alicia Fox. There was some kind of stipulation where Nikki had to have one arm tied behind her back and Michael Cole didn't have any idea what was going on, which I guess you could pretty much say for everybody. This was just another crappy Divas segment. I don't even think this actually got a finish to the match. I think Alicia Fox just beat her up to the point where she could pour soda on her, which can we just let that go already? Can we move on from that Alicia Fox thing? I don't know. Your thoughts on this segment, guys? Tony?
Yeah, they looked hot and outside of that, it sucked.
Wego?
As soon as they announced the stipulation, I was like, okay, Divas matches are bad normally, so you want to detriment them even more? And then I clicked. I'm like, no, Alicia Fox isn't going to get tied up. She's going to beat her down. So I saw it coming, and I'm not looking forward to Stephanie fighting whatever Bella she's going to fight, so I really don't care.
Five times come with the chat room saying, I don't think this was a match, actually. I don't know if he's just taking the piss out of Drew, or if he's actually being serious. Maybe this wasn't a match. I don't know.
Both.
We had our Rusev match of the night. He faced off against RVD in what was probably one of Rusev's better matches. It actually was a story told throughout this. We got a cool inset promo during it of Zeb Coulter challenging Rusev to the match at Battleground, which I would believe would just make that match official. Rusev, of course, wins with the accolade submission, which is looking 100 times better these days now that he's wrenching it back a lot more. Props to him, finally figuring out how to put that damn move on. Lana said something before the match. I don't have any notes on it. I think she got cut off halfway through from RVD. Didn't it sound like she got stopped at an awkward point, like she should have kept talking?
Yeah, I don't know if they did it on purpose and they just did a really good job of actually interrupting people instead of doing the normal thing where somebody kind of broadcasts that they're supposed to be interrupted. So they stop and then wait an extra like 0.5 seconds or so. But maybe if that's the case, they did a good job. If they didn't, then somebody jumped the gun and was just like, I really want to see RVD.
Maybe they're just fucking sick of listening to the bitch as well and was like, oh, just cut her off.
Right.
I don't know. What'd you think about this segment, Wego?
I enjoyed the match. I thought this was Rusev's best outing. And overall, I've not enjoyed Rusev, so hats off to him for keeping me entertained for whatever 10 minutes it was. I'm not sure how long the match went, but solid effort.
I think we could all admit the last few weeks of Rusev has been the best of his career.
Well, here's the thing. When you actually have a guy go out there and show some weaknesses so he can actually have a backwards and forwards match, it's a lot more fucking entertaining than a 5 to 10 minute squash match.
Yeah, exactly. But you got to introduce a character the way. That's old school, and maybe a lot of people just can't handle that anymore. Maybe we've become such an ADD-ridden race that we can't take the 4 or 5 months of squash matches, which is really nothing compared to how characters used to be built before. They would do squash matches for years before they would put them into anything.
I think the issue is there's more television now, so we're seeing it more often, meaning you get sick of it a lot faster.
Yeah, very true.
I was fine with Ryback's squashes when they were happening.
And those are going on for a hell of a lot longer than they have with Rusev so far.
Yeah, but they were fun as hell because he was like squashing multiple guys at once. In addition to that, they pick the stupidest looking guys, have them say the stupidest things, and it's like, yeah, Ryback's going to fuck him up.
Yeah, it kind of has a different way that they do things when they have a babyface winning squash matches on a heel, because the heels winning, it's a downer. And you are supposed to, like, be afraid of the guy or something, but you know he's not going to beat your ass because he can't. And when the babyface does, you get to, you know, actually like support them and have fun with it and everything. So Rusev beating up JTG or Zack Ryder or whatever, I know it's going to happen. It's just going to, you know, cut to the chase and have him be all happy at the end. And the other guy just, oh my God, I got my ass whooped. So why even bother watching it? It's like watching a horror movie where I know that the killer is going to kill almost everybody except for the main character. Then the main character is going to kill the killer, and then that's it. So, you know, okay, Halloween, I don't need to watch it. Friday the 13th, I don't need to watch it. Rusev, I don't need to watch it.
I think if you get those two or better than one guys to fight Rusev, it'll be a lot more entertaining.
Yeah.
Is it better to have no-name jobber guys than to have them go out there and just face, you know, better Xavier Woods?
Maybe.
Yes and no. If you're just going to do these five-minute squash matches, it doesn't matter who it's going to be, so you might as well not damage one of your main roster guys. If you're actually going to have a solid match, it's backwards and forwards, yeah, put him in there with someone that's got a bit of credibility.
Are we excited for Rusev versus Swagger?
Yes.
That didn't sound very enthusiastic. Yes.
I had to think about it, but I'm like, well, Jack Swagger's doing something different. And there's the off chance that the Swagger curse might happen and Rusev gets injured.
Aww.
So I'm being optimistic.
That he's going to kick him in the head by accident too hard?
Yeah, or throw him into a barricade. I'm hoping for either.
I'm pretty sure if he tries to throw him into a barricade, the barricade's going to get hurt. We had a matchup between Dean Ambrose and Randy Orton that I have to say was rather disappointing for what these guys really should have been able to go out there and do. I mean, both these guys are looked at as great in-ring technicians. Dean Ambrose is looked at as one of the best up-and-comers they have right now. Randy Orton, one of the greater long-term veterans. And yet, this match was just boring. Just so boring. And, you know, yeah, you can make the jokes about Randy Orton always having lots of rest holds in his matches, but this one was exceptionally bad. It picked up towards the end. Dean Ambrose started becoming a ball of fire, was throwing chairs all over the place. But in the end, Randy Orton was able to get the RKO out of nowhere for the pinfall. And yeah, after the match, Orton actually looked like he had a little bit of respect gained for Dean Ambrose. Like he was looking at him like, damn, kid, you made me earn that one. I thought that was kind of neat. Get your guys' thoughts on this matchup, Tony.
I'm liking a lot what they are doing with Dean Ambrose lately, even just down to his outfit. Makes him different enough from the Shield, a little distance there, but not too much. And his character is very entertaining. This match itself, I got to agree with you. I mean, it just wasn't doing it for me. And by this point in this episode of Raw, I kind of admittedly jumped the gun, but I kind of gave up on this episode of Raw.
Wow.
Because I figured, you know what? The past couple of weeks have been awesome, and they've been kicking ass from like the start of the show to the end of the show, very entertaining and all that. And this time around, we're like, I don't know, half an hour, 45 minutes into the show or whatever it was, and I still can't give a shit about much that's going on. So I didn't pay as much attention as I should have probably to this match, but other than the ending, I really couldn't have cared.
Yeah, you know, last week was a packed show, and one of the things you kept saying is they should have stretched it out a little bit longer. Mm-hmm. And on the other side, I can see where that would have made more sense, because this Raw really did not have that kind of news to it. As opposed to last week, I was like torn between what was the first topic we should have picked, and now I'm just kind of like, yeah, there's really nothing.
Yeah,
we're just kind of breezing through these things right now.
Right, they blew their load in the first week, basically, is what you could say.
Wago, you got anything you want to add to this?
As far as this match goes, I was very, very disappointed. When we had both Seth Rollins versus John Cena and Dean Ambrose versus Randy Orton announced, I would have said the Ambrose match would have been the one to knock it out of the park, but damn if Orton fucked that up. He's just offense as a heel is so dull and boring. If they'd thrown three or four more hope spots into this match, it would have made it so much more bearable or even entertaining, so disappointing outing, and I think these guys are better, can do better than that if given another opportunity. I think it was just an off night. Shame, too.
Maybe they just don't have that chemistry.
It could be that, and I think Orton has this with certain guys, where it's like him versus Kofi Kingston. He's had some good matches with Kofi. And then there was that one he had on Raw where he beat the piss out of him and then lost.
Mm.
It was fucking abysmal. I think it's just, it depends what Orton shows up. It's like, yeah, I'm just going to work a lot of offense and then have a comeback. That's boring. When he actually lets the babyface get a bit more offense, then he's a lot more bearable.
But then he has to work.
Yeah.
Like, he has to, like, not do a headlock or something. Like, he might actually have to bump or something. And then he might risk, you know, breaking his precious clavicle again.
That's what he does. It. He's like, I'm a bump. I'll hurt my clavicle.
Do you remember after he came back from that injury, and you know how when he's doing that little thing where he's playing like a viper and he starts smacking his wrists into the ring? Mm-hmm. When he first came back from that injury, he was very, like, casual about putting his fist down.
He's like, slowly put it at the end.
Yeah, like, super fast most of the way, and then just as he hits the ring, it, like, stops.
It's like when you throw a wrestling punch in the indies, but you haven't got it down quite yet.
Oh, goodness. All right, we're going to open up the phone lines a little bit early here. It's about 4 minutes, no big deal. Our first callers on the line, our always favorite person to get in first, Mr. JD from Pittsburgh. What's shaking, JD?
Hey, guys, how's it going tonight?
Absolutely tremendous, man. I mean, we're all in good moods. We wish we had more to talk about on the show, but you got anything you want to throw out about it?
Well, it was, I mean, one thing I got to say tonight, or at least we didn't hear the same old bullshit coming from Stephanie and Hunter's big yapper. So, needless to say, for 1 week, at least it was a good sign, however, that we didn't have to put up their little speaking, shall we say, and it was glad that they got off to a good start tonight. But like you said, I mean, yeah, it was a very, I'd say a mixed bag show tonight, really, in all honesty. I mean, there were some good things about it, and there were some terrible things about it. So I'm going to give this a half in a bag show. I mean, I was looking at the Superstar spoilers earlier just now, however, and obviously they didn't have anything exciting tonight. However, before the show even started, apparently, if you didn't hear, Howard Curtis Axel defeated Tyson Kidd as Natty and Ryback were ringside, and then Adam Rose, you talk about a guy who just is really falling off the bladder more and more, however. I mean, he took on Titus O'Neil tonight. What happened? See big bad Titus O'Neil, another guy who just continues to fall down the ladder. But yeah, I mean, there was really one good match tonight. I mean, you guys said it wasn't a great match. It was probably the only highlight of the entire night, however, and that was the Orton Ambrose match. I mean, they gave that 17 and a half minutes to work with. I mean, it was the only highlight of the night. I mean, you had two Divas matches. Both of them were very piss poor in their own way. I mean, the Nikki Bella, Alicia Fox, that never ended. That basically ended in a no contest. You were talking about the whole Rusev thing with Rob Van Dam. That went about 4.5 minutes, not 10 minutes. So I'll answer your question there. And then, of course, you talk about Rusev. Now you got him and his commie girlfriend taking on Mr. Superman himself, Roman Reigns, coming up in the main event tomorrow night on SmackDown. That'll air this Friday in Ottawa. So it'll be interesting to see what happens there. Then you have, we were talking about Damian Sandow last week, what we were going to think he was going to come out with. I mean, you guys were taking out guesses. Like I said, Jimmy Hart with the megaphone. I think one of you guys said it was going to be Jim the Anvil Neidhart. Instead, he comes out like Bret the Hitman Hart tonight, and what happens? The crowd just shit on him. They just absolutely shit on him in every sense of the word, and he ends up losing to freaking Sheamus, who, of course, will be facing Del Rio tomorrow night. But all in all, however, I mean, it wasn't a great show. I mean, the only thing that was kind of weird, I don't know if you guys maybe brought it up earlier too, however, there was talk, however, when Roman Reigns, however, says, you're going to need a lot of luck when you face me in the Fatal 4-Way, Holmes. So I didn't know what you guys thought about that whole thing. I mean, it was kind of a little unusual that they would do something like that.
What was it he said again?
When Cena was in the back with Roman, however, and Cena, I guess Cena was doing his interview, he said, strong words out there, Roman. I don't need luck, Holmes. And then Roman goes up into him and says, well, you're going to need a ton of luck when you face me in the Fatal 4-Way, Holmes. I was wondering what you guys thought about that whole thing.
Wago, what did you think about that?
It was a bit of weird delivery on Roman Reigns' part, but I like the tension that they're building between Roman Reigns and Cena. I think that match has got money whenever they decide to pull the trigger on it.
Mango, you got anything to add about that comment?
Speaking of Holmes, Roman Reigns should have just said, no shit, Sherlock. That would have been a lot more entertaining.
And then, of course, they continue to celebrate the Bo Dallas thing with El Torito. I mean, that you talk about the dumbest, maybe the whole dumbest thing of the entire night. It was this one here. I mean, once again, however, JBL's on Bo Dallas' nuts. Like, the streak lives, the streak lives. It's like, give me a break already. Really? Come on. If they wanted to do something corny, however, they could have done it basically after, I mean, basically midway through the second hour, not towards the semi-main event of the show. I mean, seriously? Come on. Give me a break. But The tension between Ambrose and Rollins continues to be really good. I didn't like the ending, though, however, when they kept raising each other's hands back and forth. I mean, Cena was getting booze, obviously, and he was getting a lot of heat, it seemed like, tonight in Montreal. Reigns was definitely by far the biggest over guy of the entire night, by far. I do think you're going to see those two, I think, maybe, possibly, I'm going to say it right now, I think you're going to see a match between those two, possibly at Survivor Series. I think they're going to wait till the Survivor Series, if not, maybe, possibly, maybe a Hell in a Cell in October. I can see these two going that way. And if they do that, I can definitely see Cena maybe finally turn heel. What do you guys think about that whole thing?
Tony, what do you think?
I'm hesitant to believe any time Cena turns heel by this point. There's been like five different instances in the past couple of years where I've been like, oh, they're going to do it. And they never don't. They never do, I should say. So by this point, they're going to just eventually get... if they ever do turn him heel, I'll be surprised.
You know, I would have thought Money in the Bank would have been another perfect time. You know, there's all this worry about Randy Orton still being the Golden Boy and Seth Rollins being the new Golden Boy. What if it just turned around and all of a sudden Triple H and Stephanie were picking John Cena as the Golden Boy and they had Kane come out and help him win it? That would have been another good time. I mean, there's been, like you said, at least half a dozen, maybe even up to a full dozen times that were perfect opportunities to do it and they have not pulled the trigger. And if they haven't at this point, I don't know if I wouldn't say never say never, because they did it with Hogan way after you would have thought they wouldn't have. So it's not impossible, but you only get so many opportunities. At what point are people just going
to
give
up? I think they have to right now, personally, because I think right now Roman is definitely getting more and more every week, the bigger face pop along with Ambrose, and Cena's, like, whatever time, I mean, they'll still have, your certain talents have a mixed reaction to Cena, but more and more fans are getting tired of seeing the same old bullshit with Cena. And of course, we see Cena, of course, he's going to be competing with Mr. Steroid himself, Brock Lesnar, Mr. Part-Timer Kiss Me Ass, who deserves a paycheck, coming in only a few months, however, and what do? Oh, I'm going to be given the title on a silver platter because I'm kissing Triple H's backside and the authority's backside because I deserve it. After entering and basically ending the Undertaker streak, I deserve a chance at the championship. Come on, that's bullshit. If they want to do something with the champion right now, I mean, I know they're waiting for the right time to put the belt on Reigns or maybe Ambrose. I think it's time they ought to do something with the future now. Not bring back a part-timer like Lesnar, be a champion for a few months, or ever how long he decides to hold the championship, and then drop it to a guy like Reigns. Reigns is like one of the hottest faces in the company right now with Ambrose. They ought to realize that, but no, they're just doing everything brass-ass backwards.
Man, that is exactly what I thought. Put it on Brock Lesnar and then have Lesnar put it on to Reigns. Or at least have Lesnar put over Reigns in some way. That would be the best way to define him as the new big monster not to fuck with in the company.
Well, that's what they're trying to do, and they're probably talking about saving that for WrestleMania 31, but right now I think Reigns is the hottest face in the company right now. I think Reigns deserves his time now, not later, now.
His time is now.
But that's just me. Yeah, the time is now, exactly.
Believe in Roman Reigns.
Let's get to the high point, low point of the night. The Uso match was good again, obviously. The whole Orton thing, like I said, was pretty good, too. The low point of the night, however, I'm not going to say it was either Diva or Fair. I mean, I'm going to say, oddly enough, it's this whole Kofi Kingston-Cesaro thing. I mean, every week you hear the same old crap on Paul Heyman's mouth. My client defeated The Undertaker 21-1. And meanwhile, you heard Cesaro was cutting him off tonight, however. But what happens? Cesaro gets jobbed out again to Kofi, however. I mean, this is the second week in a row Kofi ends up beating Cesaro. And what happens afterward? Cesaro absolutely freaks out. I mean, he freaks out, but good thing Big E saved him, however. What are they set up for now? Maybe a handicap match, possibly, or basically a two-on-one situation for next week before Battleground? Possibly. But at the same time, I think that was one of the lower points of the show. The other thing that was kind of low, too, I mean, I know you guys probably heard it, like, yesterday. There was talk that Santino retired. Why didn't they mention it tonight? Why didn't they bring it up? I thought they could have brought it up, if you ask me. Instead, they kept hyping the goddamn network all night long. Enough is enough with this damn network.
That's actually a really good topic. I think we'll pick that up. JD, was there anything else you wanted to say?
Nope, that's about it. I just wanted to see how you guys have. You guys had a great 4th of July, and as usually, get my weekly call in with you guys,
absolutely.
I will definitely get back at you guys again next Monday, as always.
Well, we hope you had a good 4th of July as well, man. America! We actually had an episode this weekend where we did American Pride movies, where we covered, like, The Patriot and Air Force One. One of our newer shows called Four Reel Movie Club. I remember you saying you were a movie fan once. You had something like 600 DVDs in your collection?
About that, yep. And I have some good old ones, like I said. Like, I mean, I have a couple old westerns and Patriot movies. I mean, I do watch. I mean, I've seen them on TV many a time, but I'm gonna check and see which Patriot ones I have in my collection, though. But yeah, I am a movie connoisseur. Yep.
All right. Well, great call as always, man. Have a good night. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, guys. Have a good rest of the night.
So, I actually want to pick up on that topic JD had. And caller, I see you in the queue. Please be patient. We're actually just going to talk about this for a minute, then I'll get you on. Santino retired last night at a house show. I don't even remember where it was. It was pretty much glossed over from WWE. They had a small thing on WWE.com about it. And JD brings up an excellent point. No mention of it whatsoever tonight. And why didn't they just wait until tonight? Why didn't they have him come out tonight and have his goodbye to the crowd? I think that's a big, big miss by them. But Tony, what do you think about that?
I don't know for sure because I couldn't really understand anything in the video that I had watched. It was like that reverb and the echo and everything was just kind of like... So I don't know what he really said.
Oh, is that sure?
But I think what he had said was that he was from that town. Like that's where he grew up in Canada. So that's why he decided to do that then. But Yeah, true. But I don't know why they wouldn't have mentioned it tonight on Raw. Maybe they're going to do something at Battleground. Maybe they had just not factored this into the script and they're going to do it next week. I don't know. Maybe they just don't care, which would be a shame.
Wago, anything to add to that?
Maybe they don't care. That's about right, because I don't care either. It's fucking Santino Marella. He was a mid-carder for a while, but for the most part of his career, he was a comedy jobber. That's if Heath Slater announced his retirement, it's about the same fucking thing. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, but you can at least have something, just some small quick thing on TV. He's been a company guy for a long time. He has a lot of like good memories, especially as just a mid-card comedy jobber. You could really talk about a lot
Caden,
of fun times with him.
We've got 3 hours of TV. We cannot fit Santino on that.
Good point. All right, well, with that, we're going to bring on our next caller. They're from the 803 area code. Caller from 803, you're live on the Raw Post Show on Mega Powers Radio. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Hello?
Hi. Who's this?
Hi,
what's your name?
Moesha? Yeah.
How you doing, Moesha? What did you think about Raw tonight?
I think it was good, and I liked the two Divas matches.
Oh, yeah? Which one did you like better?
The Funk Doctors versus Paige and AJ Lee.
Are you digging the tension that they're building between the Funkadactyls? Do you want to see a match between those two down the line?
Yes.
Would you like to see one of them as Divas champion?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, what else did you like tonight? Did you like our main event, John Cena versus Seth Rollins?
Yep.
Was there anything you hated from tonight's show?
Huh?
Was there anything you hated from tonight's show?
Not so much. I like it.
Well, what was your, besides the Divas matches, what was your favorite part?
Well, when AJ Lee and Paige won and the Funk Doctors, like, fighting everything.
All right. Well, did you have any, like, anything you wanted to ask us?
Not really.
Oh, okay. Moesha, we're gonna end this one here. Have a good night. Oh, goodness. There it is. A little late on that one.
Fucking A.
No, that was
good. It's good to see that people did like the Divas matches, though, because, I mean, there is an audience out there that likes the Divas matches, and even though we kind of like chat upon the whole thing with Nikki Bella and all that, the other match that happened later on actually had a little bit of substance to it. So
Five Pounds Combo in the chat says that was a call.
No, Moesha, you sound like a very sweet girl. Thank you for calling in. Moving on, we had our we had a match between Alberto Del Rio and Dolph Ziggler. I didn't even know. I guess this was a number one contenders match for a U.S. title shot. Fandango was on commentary, and he was the star of the match. I mean, he was just awesome talking with his little porno talk voice. And then in the middle of the match, his music hits and he gets on the announce table and starts dancing while the rest of the crowd is fandangling around him, causing the distraction to allow Alberto Del Rio to get the victory, which I'm not too happy about, but Fandango was awesome. And I'm happy to see Fandango still keeping a role for himself on TV. Tony, you got anything you want to throw onto that?
You know what I was really afraid of when they announced that this match was happening? They referred to Ziggler and Del Rio as two of the principal people in the match for Battleground, and it was just like Del Rio's gonna get like extra added bonus of like he's one of the principal people in the Battleground match. He doesn't deserve it. And then it got even worse when they said this was for a number one contendership for the U.S. title, which kind of just came out of the blue, because it was like these two guys can win the Intercontinental title in 2 weeks. By the way, this match is also for the, you know, number one contendership of the U.S. title. And here's Fandango, who give him either of these fucking titles and he is better than Sheamus or Del Rio. And what do we have? We have Ziggler and Fandango, the two people who could be entertaining with these two titles, feuding off on the side while Sheamus and Del Rio are fighting for both of them. Can't fucking stand that at all.
That just really made this all sound so much worse.
Right. I am so sick of Del Rio versus Sheamus. And there is just somebody in fucking creative. I don't know if it's Vince. I don't know if it's Triple H. I don't know if it's fucking Kevin Dunn. At least one of these guys has such a boner for these two fucking facing each other that they will literally do an open invitational match on Main Event and jump the gun and announce that it's Del Rio because they don't want to get people to tune in to Main Event and not know who's going to fight because they're that excited about, it's going to be Del Rio. And then we're going to do another one on SmackDown. And then we're going to do a number one contenders match. And Del Rio's going to win because I want to see another one. Fuck that. Fandango's awesome. Ziggler's awesome. Del Rio, he needs to have another match with Swagger. And they can make that a triple threat or a fatal four-way with the Rusev thing, and all of them can get injured as far as I'm concerned.
Just as a follow-up, we had another backstage segment where Layla comes up to Fandango and gets reassurance that Fandango still loves him. And we see Summer Rae looking like a slut in the background. Anything you want to add to about that part, Tony?
Woo!
Woo! It. Catty drama! Woo!
Woo, slut.
Wago, what do you think about it? What do you think about this whole situation?
He needed to channel his inner Johnny Curtis and chase it with a chloroform rag.
Then make a pun about it.
But, well, the fucking finish of this match was retarded. I'm gonna stand, dance, you're gonna look, and get beat. Yep. My favorite finish with dancing. Perfect.
All right, well, that happened. We had a backstage interview with The Miz, who I think was on his A-game with this. He reads a letter from a child, Johnny Russo, who is pretty much just really upset that his return got ruined. And Miz said to return the favor, when it comes to the fist that he's holding out, Chris Jericho is ready for his close-up. And I loved that line. That is probably the finest line The Miz has ever delivered in his career. And I'm digging Hollywood Miz. I think it's really working for him. He had his match with Chris Jericho tonight. They really rushed that. Jericho wins with the Walls of Jericho, so now there's absolutely no reason to ever have this match on a pay-per-view or anything else. Immediately after the match, the lights go out. Bray Wyatt appears on stage. He talks about how can you save a universe when you can't even save yourself, Jericho. Jericho makes a Quiet Wyatt reference that I thought was really cool. Really, really rocking of Jericho to pull that one out. And as Jericho is going up to the stage, the other two Wyatt member family, two members of the Wyatt family, that's a tongue twister, appear next to Bray Wyatt and chase Jericho off. And then we go to commercial. That's what we got. Tony?
I got a couple points with this. First thing I'll just mention about the promo. I do like that line a lot. Mm-hmm. Although at the same time, it kind of reminds me of one of the Chuck Norris lines that we were talking about at the Four Real Movie Club, the whole I'm going to hit you with so many rights, you're going to beg for a left.
Yes! I was thinking that exact same thing.
Right. And I thought it was funny that when Miz was delivering that line, they panned down to his fist, and he starts smiling like he's about to laugh because he realizes how ridiculous this line is. But I hope he keeps that. I hope that that's like one of his like silly, stupid-ass catchphrase things, because I think that that's great. You know, I complained about it before, and I'll echo my comments from the past. I think we should have had Miz versus Jericho at Battleground, and we should have just waited for Bray Wyatt. Bray Wyatt could have been in any other kind of match, really. They could have made it five people in that world title match, or they could have just had him not wrestle for a month, because not everybody has to wrestle in every pay-per-view. So he could have just interfered in that match, and we could have had the first encounter between Bray Wyatt and Chris Jericho at SummerSlam, because right now SummerSlam is not looking special at all. If we're really going to get this Randy Orton versus Roman Reigns match rather than Triple H, don't fucking care. If we're going to get Brock Lesnar versus John Cena, and the rumors are true that that's not when Lesnar is going to win, don't fucking care. If we're going to get the second match between Wyatt and Jericho, look, don't fucking care at that point. SummerSlam has been heavily criticized for a long time. And actually, we did an episode of Smack Talk where we discussed the idea, is it even the number two pay-per-view anymore? Right now, it's looking like Battleground and Night of Champions mean more than SummerSlam. So I think that that's a huge misstep in
WWE's
direction. Let
alone Money in the Bank and Royal Rumble.
Oh, yeah. Right. Yeah, Money in the Bank and Night of Champions and all that. It's like you might as well not even give a shit about Survivor Series and SummerSlam anymore. But I'm disappointed that it just ended up being a throwaway match on Raw, because now The Miz looks worse. Jericho doesn't look any better. And they're going to have to rush Bray Wyatt and Jericho for Battleground.
Sound like we're just shitting over everything. I swear we're not always this negative. It's just this episode.
Yeah, this episode's a far cry from the past couple ones.
Yeah, if you listen to our show last week, we were all super excited except for Miguel, who had to be the one guy shitting over everything. Now it's our turn to shit over everything, though. Wago, start shitting.
Ah, man, I fucking hate Miguel. All right, so as far as this whole feud goes, I really wish they just started it off with Bray and Chris Jericho kind of having a dueling promo, or Jericho returns and gets interrupted, because Miz is taking such a back seat where it's only hurting him.
He should have just
returned at the Battle Royal and won the Intercontinental Championship.
No, he's this is his best spot. It's just like when he was in the WrestleMania main event. He was just in the back seat.
Yeah, I think highly of Miz, and I think he's better than what they're using him for right now. And if they're not going to actually build to anything with Chris Jericho and The Miz, they should have never introduced it.
Well, as I'm saying, if The Miz is supposed to be coming back to promote a movie where he's playing an action star, you probably should at least try to make him look like he's kind of a badass.
Mm-hmm. They've kind of just shit all over him from the get-go, and that's not a good thing. But his promo is pretty funny.
Yeah, if he can keep up that work, I think there's going to be big things for him in the next year. We had another Divas match. I actually didn't even get to see it. It was AJ Lee and Paige against the Funkadactyls. From what I'm told, this is where Cameron refuses to get herself tagged in, allowing AJ Lee and Paige to get the victory, and the Funkadactyls ended up clashing after the match, furthering their little story, and supposedly we're probably going to match between them at some point, maybe like a pre-show to Battleground or something like that. I don't know. Tony, what do you want to throw in about this?
I'm a little bit confused about what they're going to do with AJ and Paige, because I figured that naturally that this was going to end with both teams not being able to have like a steady partner. Then next week we'd have the opposite, Cameron and Paige versus AJ Lee and Naomi. But that didn't happen at all. Instead, Paige is like the number one supporter of AJ Lee. So now I'm confused, but I got to assume that we're going to get AJ Lee versus Paige at Battleground instead of SummerSlam, another thing that I think they should have waited on. And there goes the Paige versus Naomi versus Cameron thing. Naomi versus Cameron on their own, not going to happen anything other than a pre-show. And that's a little bit of a shame, because Naomi deserves a lot better than that.
Five times combo in the chat room correcting me. There was also Paige introducing AJ, which, from what I was told, she also did it like very friendly and all pally, like she's trying to be best friends with her BFFs.
Yeah, that was awkward as fuck. I mean, I keep making fun of on my notes for the end of the year awards that we usually do, mm-hmm, of the worst announcers of the year. and I've got like four potential people, and they're all like Kendall Sky and Devin Taylor and whatever. The generic NXT woman announcer that they usually do, they run through them so fast through every year. And Paige just made them look fantastic, because that was really odd the way that she did that.
I have no idea where they're going with that either. And it's another thing that just feels rushed. And like I was saying, and what you just echoed there, if they do just Naomi versus Cameron, pre-show at best.
Mm-hmm.
Pre-show at best. I think that's more like a, it's not even a pay-per-view match. That's like a main event match.
Yeah, I was actually going to say it's probably like the second match on an episode of main event. Not even the main event of main event.
You know what that match would probably be good on? An NXT show.
Maybe.
Right.
I don't know.
I just like everything better than NXT, I guess. But anyway, I got another call on the line. We're going to bring him on. Calling in via Skype line. His name is Mobile Sensation. What's up, Mobile Sensation?
Sir, I called in last week.
You sure did.
I told you, if you're not cool, I will spit in your face, sir.
No, please don't spit in my face.
Calling in this week to make sure that you're cool.
I'm cool.
How are you guys doing?
Absolutely tremendous, man. I mean, we're a little down on this Raw tonight, but we're still in good spirits. We're having fun here on the post show on Mega Powers Radio. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay. And, you know, speaking of Raw, I have to say, Raw started off so well, and then when the Divas match came on, everything went down like that. It had a really good start, and then it's like the writers just gave up. They're like, well, we had a good start. Who cares about the rest? Just let the whole show fall to pieces.
That's a very good point. I didn't even think about the first two segments with Roman Reigns coming out and then the Usos against Harper and Rowan were both above par. And then once we had that Nikki Bella versus Alicia Fox, the energy just was never able to pick back up. Even Ambrose and Orton were not able to get that energy back up to where it needed to be.
The crowd was chanting boring. And the announcers were trying to, like, they were, like, trying to ignore it, but it was loud. It's not like SmackDown where they could, like, edit it out. It's like, this is Raw, so you're going to hear this crowd chant boring.
Oh, we haven't even mentioned. They were in Montreal, one of their hottest cities. And usually when they're in those hot markets, like New York City, Chicago, and Montreal, they'll try to step it up a little bit and deliver a really good show.
And England.
And England, absolutely. England, too. And they didn't do that tonight. That
crowd... That crowd was dead, and I don't blame them because they didn't really have anything to cheer for. I've heard more cheers during a Mick Foley on a Raw empty arena match than I heard on Monday Night Raw tonight.
That's good.
So what were some of your favorite parts of the show? Or rather, what were some of your least favorite parts? Maybe
I'll tell
is a
you,
question to ask.
I'll tell you this. Did you guys notice that Dolph Ziggler had one of the biggest pops of the night? This guy deserves back in the main event spot. The crowd was dead, and when Dolph Ziggler came out, that crowd went wild, and then it went dead again. But still, Dolph Ziggler had the pops. They love Dolph Ziggler wherever he goes, and that guy deserves to be world champion again.
Or at least
challenge for the title again.
They really are. I should say Dolph Ziggler is really catching on right now, and it's kind of coming out of nowhere. I mean, he always had his backers, but I've never heard the crowd be as behind him as they've been the last few weeks. And I don't know if it's because he's with Summer Rae, I guess he's not fully with Summer Rae, but it seems like that's what they're hinting towards. Maybe it's the buzz from Fandango. Maybe he's getting that Fandango rub.
Dolph Ziggler gets the cheers because Dolph Ziggler is the show off, and he's the best at what he does. Wait, someone already took that. But anyway, he's the best. He is one of the best, you know. And he deserves the cheers to get. And if the WWE drops the ball, I hope that and they release Dolph Ziggler, which probably will happen. I hope TNA picks up that ball and takes him and uses him like they are using Lashley or something.
I wouldn't wish TNA on him, but if he does get parted ways, I do wish the best on him because he has so much talent. Any company that does pick him up, he would be nothing but an excellent employee for. Who do you hope's winning that Intercontinental Battle
Royal? Remember?
Go ahead, man. You had a question.
Who? I was just saying, like, did you guys remember when he was part of Spirit Squad? Like, he came from the Spirit Squad.
Try not to remember.
Right.
Well, before that, he was the caddy for Chavo Guerrero as the white guy, Kerwin White.
Oh, he was. I wasn't tuning into Raw at that time in my life, so I can't remember.
Oh, yeah, Chavo Guerrero did this, like, white guy thing where he wore a sweater over his shoulders, and Dolph Ziggler was the caddy for him. He just walked around with his bag of golf clubs.
I'll have to check that out on YouTube or something.
Yeah, not a great start for Dolph Ziggler, but he has picked himself up significantly since those days from being a caddy and a cheerleader. It really is kind of an amazing story. It's almost kind of like The Miz, where he has that rags-to-riches story of where he started in something embarrassing and stupid and nobody should have taken him seriously. But he busted his butt to getting to the point where he is. Fortunately, Dolph Ziggler never got that WrestleMania match.
The host of SmackDown. He started off as the host of SmackDown. And I was like, woo woo. What was that crazy thing he had? Like, hoorah.
Hoorah. Which was an insult to the American military.
Oh, boy. Yeah. Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah, I think it's either the Army or the Marines. That's like their chant. They say, hoorah. And The Miz just kind of took it.
It's probably not over, and you just pissed off both groups.
Well, actually, if that is the Marine chant, it makes sense because he's the Marine now. So now he can say hoorah again, but he's not. He's saying cheesy one-liners.
I stick with the cheesy one-liners.
The Miz deserves a... Yeah.
Is The Miz cool?
The Miz... I think the Miz is cool. The Miz is not cool. The Miz is awesome.
Oh.
Did you guys notice... Did you guys notice that years ago, I think it was either 2 years ago or last year, the Miz was Michael Cole's biggest fan, and tonight Michael Cole's like, oh, you became a big fan of Miz, huh? Like he never was a fan in his life, you know? It's like, what a 180 turn.
Yeah, you know? I remember when Miz was doing that main event run, Michael Cole was like his biggest lover. All over him.
Yeah, he was like kissing his ass. Like you couldn't get his lips out. He was like he was the first inductee into the Miz's Kiss My Ass Club, and Michael Cole was just like every night he's like, oh Miz, you can do no wrong, you know. And now Michael Cole is like back to being a lame announcer. I like when he was heel; he actually had some personality. Now he's like, you know. I mean, they pretty much, like, ruined my favorite color commentator of all time, Jerry King Lawler, by turning them face. I mean, I don't know if you guys agree, but in my personal opinion, I think Jerry King Lawler was pretty much very, 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 like, you know, very responsible for those ratings that the Attitude Era had, because that guy was funny as hell, you know. He would make segments that were shit, like... Like you would be laughing your ass off, like a shitty, like a crappy segment, and that guy would just make you laugh to the whole entire show. Best color commentator ever, in my opinion.
I definitely would say he played a part. Him and Jim Ross. I mean, those guys complemented each other so perfectly. They were on their A game at that same time, while everything else was hot. That was just such a nuclear combination of things they had at that time. And I absolutely agree. I would say Jerry Lawler is. Can definitely claim responsibility, not like a huge, huge part, but definitely a significant part of why that show was so entertaining at that time. I mean, compare Jim Ross and Jerry Lawler. When you go to WCW, you have freaking Mike Tenay and Tony Schiavone. Who the hell cared about those guys? Larry Zbysko. Yeah, want to hear that great Larry Zbysko commentary.
I hated those guys. I'll be honest with you. I hated WCW altogether. Like I never liked WCW. You know, I mean, some people might get upset when I say that, but I always found it boring, you know, in my opinion. But I always liked the fact that it was there because it made the WWF better, because then they had no choice but to become better. So that's why I always respect WCW. I just never found it interesting.
Well, one of those key players throughout that time period was Bret Hart, who we saw return to the show tonight. What did you think about his performance and the little bit of time that he got?
I like Bret Hart. I know I just would like them to stop doing like these like silly segments, like having Bret Hart come out and hit Damian Sandow, or having Bo Dallas come out and make fun of Daniel Bryan. Like it's just like awkward. It's like what's the point? I don't see where this is going. You know, I would like to stop doing that and actually have something. You know, when Bret Hart came on and say, oh, I would love to wrestle again, I, like, started to cringe because I was like, oh, my God, he's going to wrestle again tonight?
Especially once Sandow came out in the Bret Hart outfit. I was like, oh, are we going to get Bret Hart versus Bret Hart? This is going to be ridiculous.
I was like, oh, God. It's like, I guess he didn't get the memo, you know. But I did find it kind of interesting, you know, Well, some listeners may not remember, or they may remember, Jerry the King Lawler and Bret Hart at one time hated each other.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Jerry the King Lawler, like, he dissed his mom. I remember the best insult ever. Jerry the King, at that time, you guys remember Bastion Booger, the ugliest superstar in WWE history.
Mm-hmm.
And Jerry the King Lawler told Bret Hart, you better hope that nothing happens to Bastion Booger, or your mother will be the ugliest person on earth. And that was the...
He used to burn her up all the time. I remember, like, anytime they were at ringside, he'd always be like, what? Are they dead? They're not moving. They're dead.
I tell you, the only guy that could have made me laugh as much as Jerry the King Lawler was Bobby Heenan and maybe Jesse Ventura. But, you know, I like Bobby Heenan too. But, you know, but Jerry the King Lawler, he's just gold. That guy was like the Chris Jericho of the early 90s.
It was just perfect for his generation. I mean, if you go back and listen to, like, Jerry the King Lawler's promos when he was a wrestler, they're good, but they're not, like, anything to write home about. But his commentary, he just found his niche so perfectly in that role. And to see where he's become to this point where he's just another company homer shilling the WWE app when he doesn't even know how to work it himself, probably, it's sad to see the shell that he's become.
Yeah, I mean, as bad as Jerry the King Lawler is now, I will always respect him as the guy he was, even if he's, like, you know, pretty lame right now. It's not his fault, because the WWE demands that he's a babyface. So he can only do so much as a babyface, because Jerry King Lawler was like a heel his entire career, like a heel slash tweener. So he didn't really know what to do as a babyface, you know. So you can't really, like, kind of blame him. You know,
well, it's not even just that. It's also the switch to the PG era, where this is a guy who always made really crass jokes. I mean, he always made jokes about the puppies, and that's what he's used to being able to do. And now when you got to tell him the only thing he can make is, like, stuff he reads out of a children's joke book, it's just not as cool anymore. Oh,
yeah, but you remember when he said the Polaris? That was pretty funny.
That was pretty funny. Mobile Sensation, looks like we lost you. I heard you cutting out a couple of times. I don't know if you had a rough connection or if you're in a storm just like I am. Feel free to call back in. We'll get you back on. It's an excellent call so far, but it looks like we lost you. But we'll bring it over to you guys. I mean, since we're talking about Jerry Lawler, what do you guys think about the current state of Jerry Lawler compared to where he once was? Wago?
It's fucking abysmal, and it's sad to say, if he had passed away from that heart attack, commentary would have gone up significantly in quality.
That's really hard.
We don't need to go there.
That's really hard.
Although, to be fair, that's something Jerry Lawler would have said in his prime, so.
See, I'm doing him a favor. Going back to a good old Jerry Lawler-style promo, but I think he's abysmal. And I don't think even turning him heel would make a difference. I think it's just the era that we're in. He's just phoning it in at this point. And honestly, I saw a quality go down in his commentary after he came back and replaced Paul Heyman.
Mm.
So I don't know if it was the whole fallout with the WWF at the time and then coming back and just phoning it in and doing it for the paycheck. So honestly, bring someone else to be the color commentator, or just make it Jerry Lawler and Michael Cole. Those two are fine on their own as well.
You mean JBL?
Yeah, whatever.
No, well, you know, that's another thing. Jerry Lawler just never found that chemistry with Michael Cole, ever. And that's a lot of people hate on Michael Cole. I don't hate on him as much as other people. He's not great, but he's very adequate at his job. He fills the role fine. And he's had good chemistry with so many people. I think he has excellent chemistry with JBL. I thought he was great with Taz as well. I mean, he gave Taz the best work of his freaking commentary career, and Taz is awful when he's with anybody else. So... I don't know what to do with Jerry. I mean, maybe it's just time for him to let him retire and just go to be the legend in Memphis that he is, but maybe he does still kind of want to be there, and that's why he's still doing it.
Honestly, I was a big fan of Mick Foley when he was commentating. I'd be in favor of bringing him back to be the face caller commentator.
I'd be okay with that. Tony, what do you think about all this?
I think Lawler's definitely phoning it in. I don't know if he's even intentionally doing it or not, but he might even just be a victim of different circumstances. He clearly is much better suited to deal with Jim Ross, and he's better friends with Jim Ross, so he might just be down and out depressed because his friend's not there. And he doesn't have the chemistry with Michael Cole, but JBL does. So he's the odd man out, and, you know, the third wheel kind of essentially in this commentator team. If you put him with somebody else, he might do better. If you give him less restrictions, like the PG thing, he might do better. I think it's a lot of factors, and I think that we've reached a point right now where we don't need Jerry Lawler because JBL's doing his job for him. So maybe at this point you just kind of let him go, and you put him in the Legends house, you keep him involved in backstage stuff, have him be an ambassador, that kind of stuff. I don't think that you really need to keep Jerry Lawler on there for anything. And I don't know who could replace him. You might not even need to replace him. Just Cole and JBL would be fine. But maybe you give a little bit of a bump up to Renee Young. Maybe you shouldn't have released Josh Matthews because he and Cole had some pretty good chemistry between the two of them.
I believe Renee Young actually made her main roster commentating debut this past week on either Main Event or Superstars it was. So she's definitely making her moves.
Yeah, I can take a pass on her after that fucking NXT color commentary.
Oh, that was one match.
That was bad. That was really bad.
Well, she was probably being fed something in her headset to shill that.
Ugh.
It happens. But, we're trying to pinpoint a point where Jerry Lawler fell off, and Wago said it was when he came back after that hiatus. I would say that was definitely a start, but if we really had to find a spot, it would be that Raw Roulette night. Or not Raw Roulette, the Raw Draft night when they switched Michael Cole and Jim Ross between SmackDown and Raw. I would say that's the night good commentary died as far as having a good complete team. I don't think we've had anything great since. And, CM Punk was fun for that little bit of time he was on, and every once in a while we'll get good calls, but nothing like we had at that point. Michael Cole was doing great on SmackDown, Jim Ross was doing great on Raw, and that just fucked it all up.
Yeah, I agree.
Well, we got Mobile Sensation back on the line. Let's get him back in here. Mobile Sensation, you back with us?
I apologize. My on me, that's the thing about using laptops. You got to be sure that your thing is charged.
That's
it
not
was
cool.
Embarrassing.
Whatever you do, though, don't spit Apple all over your laptop.
As Stardust. I'm going to spit it. I have that ready. But since you act so nicely, I might let it slide. But I did manage to hear your team's opinion on Jim Ross. I didn't really get what you said, but I your team. I agree, maybe he is depressed, but who knows? I'll tell you what, you guys remember Matt Striker and Josh Matthews had that slammy for the best commentary team a few years ago.
That did happen. Oh my god, I forgot about that.
Yeah, I know my stuff.
You do. That's a crazy fact to pull out. Now both of them are canned.
Yeah, both of them. Matt Striker, your teacher. Now, I wonder if we went back to teaching. I don't know if that was an angle or.
No, I believe he actually was a teacher. So that could be a career path for him. Didn't he? No, I think he went to Ring of Honor for a little bit, which maybe he just did both, because I can't imagine Ring of Honor was a full-time fit for him.
Matt Striker right now is doing color commentary in Hollywood Championship Wrestling.
Oh, there you go.
He was like a wrestling nerd. Like, he knew even more than JBL.
Oh, he would pull out those crazy long words. It would remind me of Gorilla Monsoon, where he'd just be pulling out these crazy random big words just to impress you on commentary. He's hitting him in the upper solar plexus.
I think he knew more about the WWF than even Vince McMahon himself. I mean, that guy knew everything. I mean, he probably can tell you who was the first ever in WWF.
Well, I'll tell you what was unforgivable from Matt Striker, and that was the complete botch of the return of Christian. Which wasn't completely his fault, because it never should have been done on ECW, but the calls that him, and I guess it was Josh Matthews at the time, made was just abysmal.
Todd Grisham.
It's Christian.
It was Todd Grisham who was in charge of that night, because that was the inspiration for my Todd Grisham Sucks article that I wrote.
Yeah, it was, Christian.
That is Christian. Wow.
What happened? I wasn't there. I can't remember that. What happened?
Tony, you want to take that one?
Sure. Christian comes back from TNA. He's been out of WWE for maybe like 3 years, 4 years or something like that. Pretty long hiatus, whatever it was. And Todd Grisham was the head of commentary for ECW at the time, and his response literally, instead of like, wait a minute, no, that can't be, that's Christian, guys, like, oh crap, we should be excited. He's like, that's, why that's Christian. Yep, that's Christian, all right. Okay.
And no, but Christian has actually left the WWE in a high spot. I mean, he'd been feuding with Jericho and Cena in the main event, so it wasn't like he was some mid-carder or anything. It should have been a big deal.
I mean, they make a bigger deal out of, like, you know, Hornswoggle popping up and stuff, where, you know, a celebrity comes in, it's the biggest thing in the world, or the biggest celebrity ever. Christian comes back, and they immediately put him in a spot for the ECW title, and Todd Grisham has zero fucks to give.
Yeah, even Khali got to return on Raw.
That's true.
And he's like, eh, fuck this shit, I'm going to get a job at ESPN.
Oh, goodness. Mobile like Sensation, what else is on your mind tonight?
What else is on my mind? I have a lot on my mind. My mind never... I tell you guys, do you guys ever talk... This is like strictly WWE talk, right? Like no TNA and anything like that?
If you want to ask a question, we'll try to fish an answer for it, but neither of us watch TNA in any kind of regularity anymore. Years ago we did, but not anymore.
Yeah, because that show went down. Like I actually like had high hopes for that show. And then like Hulk Hogan and Eric Bischoff came and I was never able to after that.
Tony, you want to give him a breakdown on the de-evolution of our TNA coverage on our shows?
Well, we've made fun of them to the point where we decided that episode 85 was the end of when we would be taking this seriously, and now we just make grunts and groans at TNA.
We used to cover all their pay-per-views. We used to do pre-show predictions. We used to do you know, after-show reviews. Then it went down to maybe just doing predictions for like the top three or four shows. And now we're not even doing that. Now, like, they just had one of their biggest pay-per-views of the year a couple weeks ago, right? And nothing. We didn't even talk about it one bit on any of our shows.
No, I did the one review on the website, the live coverage, and half hour into it, I was just like, my God, why can't I get somebody to write TNA for me on Smart Count Moment? If you're out there, please.
You guys know that going back to the Six Side.
Oh yeah, they did the that in the they did that in the New York tapings. I almost went to those. Apparently, those tapings that they did in New York are supposed to be really good. We're supposed to see Dixie go through a table. Spoiler. It's not enough for me to get. And matter of fact, I heard a lot of revolting about that six-sided ring from a lot of the wrestlers because apparently it hurts a lot more to work inside that ring. It's a lot tougher to move around. Maybe Wago could attest to that. I don't know if you ever worked inside a six-sided ring, Wago.
No, but I know why it hurts more. The more turnbuckles you have, the tighter it actually gets on the canvas, so there's less give. So you're basically hitting a harder piece of wood.
I mean, if it's something that makes them stick out, and I get that. That's cool. I always kind of dug seeing the six-sided ring when I looked at Mexican wrestling. But I got to admit, when they switched to four sides, I actually kind of liked that better. It made it a little bit more graspable for me. And I don't know if you guys agree with that, but when they did that, I kind of enjoyed watching their matches a little bit more.
I think they should invest in a three-sided ring, and the edge that's got no rope should be at the end of a cliff, and then we kill TNA off altogether.
Then they can make a new gimmick match out of it.
Yeah, but here's the thing.
Make sure Dizzy Card is in it.
They'd overcomplicate it and make it so that it's the first person that climbs up the cliff into the ring to be the fucking winner.
You know, they did something like that years ago, I think in
the reverse
WCW,
battle
where
whale.
They had that high level, the high legend, you know, where those, I think it was like a really terrible match.
Oh,
they,
it was a scaffold
match,
right?
They were fighting, or something like that. It was, like, a really bad match. It was, like, really, really, really bad match. Like, it was even worse than Mike Adamley's commentary. Like, it was just really bad.
That's a relic of the territory days. They used to do those scaffold matches, and they are always boring because you can't do any moves while on top of there. It's just, like... Oh, this guy pushes him towards the edge. Oh, he didn't go off. Oh, he pushes him towards the edge. Oh, he didn't go off. Oh, he pushes him towards... Ah, he went off. Match is over. And that's the whole match. Not exactly.
I mean, I would like to see Randy Orton do like an RKO from that height. You know, that wouldn't be cool.
That...
but you guys also remembered when Hulk, you know, the Hulk Hogan's greatest line when Big Show fell off the roof. Oh, brother, he's dead. Something like that. He's like, oh. I mean, it was like, wow. And then the guy comes back a few hours later without a scratch, you know. He got back up after falling off a ledge, but no, a leg drop did it, though. So he can get back up from falling off a roof, but he can't get back up from a leg drop. I found that ridiculous.
Oh, my goodness. Mobile Sensation, this has been a tremendous call. I want to wrap it up by getting your high point and your low point for tonight's show.
The low point by far is that Divas match with Nikki Bella and whoever she wrestled, I forgot. Because that was just Alicia Fox. Like, that was the low point for sure. Even the crowd hated it. That was even worse than the Damian Sandow segment. You know, like, you know, they should listen to the fans. Don't do it again. You know, we don't know where he's going. The high point of the night, I'll probably have to get to... I'd say the high point of the night was probably watching maybe the main event. I don't know. I like that segment with Seth Rollins and John Cena. I don't know. Even though I don't like John Cena, really, I just found it like Seth Rollins just barge into his room and say, well, I could cash this in, or I could wait till you're injured. Either way, I could cash this in. So either way, you're screwed. You know, I just thought that was clever.
All right. Mobile Sensation, like I said, great call tonight. I had a lot of fun talking to you. Call in again anytime, man.
No problem. You guys are on every Monday, right?
Every Monday following Raw. We're here. Just like WWE, they gave up on their post show. We're not going anywhere. We're staying here.
Oh, great, great, great. All right. See you guys next week.
Totally, man. Look forward to it. Have a good night, bro. Another awesome caller here on the Mega Powers Radio Raw post show. If you want to get yourself in line, dial in area code 760-512-7247 or press a little Skype icon at the top of the page. We have the chat room open. It's pretty quiet tonight. We got Five Times Combo, Smash Radio, Steven Wago representing the team, and a number of guests. Hey, guests, why don't you register yourself so you can talk in the chat room with Five Times Combo in there. He's lonely. Five Times Combo actually had a really good comment that I've been saving ever since we got on that call. He said, could you imagine Jerry Lawler on Legends House interacting with Ashley?
I really want to see this now.
That would be interesting.
The conversations that they would have between him and Okerlund be like, you know, did you check out Ashley? Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Look at the ass on that one.
Yeah, she's got the body of a 12-year-old. I love her. That's what she... Lola, I think she's too old for Lola.
Ashley.
So we had a backstage segment with Stardust and Goldust where they're walking around a wig, and Goldust takes the wig and puts it on, which is the first time I've seen him wear that wig, I feel like, since he's come back. So, excellent. I miss the wig. They say something about seeing it written in the stars. Really bizarre promo, as it should be. They're finding what they can do with Stardust, and I think they're working it. But, Tony, I know you've been the naysayer of Stardust. What did you think about this tonight?
You know, it would have been a lot better if they actually did something. Past couple of weeks, they've done nothing but backstage promos.
No, the past couple of weeks, they've been wrestling fucking Rybacksel every goddamn week.
Well, that's the only other thing that they're doing. It's that or nothing. And you need a lot more than that. It sucks. It's a shame, because I think Stardust has some potential. But not only is it creepy as fuck to stare at when Wago has it as his Skype profile picture, but I think that it could be entertaining if they put the slightest bit of effort into it. And I've been echoing that comment a lot on the Raw Post show over the past month or so of, if WWE puts the effort into something, they generally pull it off. They're not doing that with Stardust. They're giving Cody Rhodes and Goldust like the minimal amount of time, clearly telling them just like, go do something, I don't fucking care. And that's not gonna do it. So boo.
Wago.
It's definitely funny you mentioned that. My mother, I phoned her earlier today and she got freaked out by that Cody Rhodes picture.
It stares through your soul. That's fucking nice.
I like it. It's they're doing something that isn't Rybacksel, and anything that isn't Rybacksel is a good thing.
Yeah, true that. Smash Radio in the chat room saying, I missed the Tourette's gimmick for Goldust. That was gold. Pardon the pun. Tony appreciates the puns.
Tony's writing that down as we speak.
Tony's been taking lots of notes about jokes tonight. Maybe you can give him to Jerry Lawler. He could use them. All right. Well.
That fell flat.
Yeah, I'll use that one, too.
Well, speaking of falling flat, we had Bret Hart out for the night. And of all the things you could have done with Bret Hart, my gosh, what a waste. JD, actually, I'm surprised he didn't mention it tonight. He was really looking forward to Bret Hart coming, hoping that he was going to be some type of counter to the Authority. And yeah, you could have done that, but I think that would have been too much. I still felt like you could have done more than what they had. He came out here. He said about three lines. He was full of energy, though. He was talking about maybe getting in the ring one more time. And out comes Damian Sandow, dressed up as Bret Hart. In fact, it was Bret Sandhart. You know, I properly call him. He talks for a little bit, but eventually Bret has had enough, punches Damian Sandow in the face. Out comes Sheamus, gives Bret Hart a hug, and Sheamus and Damian Sandow have a match. Sheamus wins with the bro kick, as expected. Oh, wait, no. Did he win with the Texas Cloverleaf? No, he won with the bro kick. I don't know.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah, whatever. That happened.
Fuck Sheamus.
Fuck Sheamus. Poor Damian Sandow. I mean, actually, I kind of dug what he was doing the last couple weeks. And a piss poor use of Bret Hart. I'm not the biggest Bret Hart fan in the world, but wow, what a letdown for all those Montreal fans that were there. Tony, what did you think about it?
I actually missed almost the entirety of the segment. I was just off doing something else because, as I mentioned earlier, I pretty much gave up on this episode of Raw. So I figured, you know what, I'll just, you know, clean up around the house a little bit or something. It's a commercial. I'm sure whatever it comes back to, it's not going to be that great. And the very first thing that I saw was, Bret was like, he punched Sandow and said something like, punching's like my forte, or punching was my specialty, or something. And JBL's just like, oh yeah, he punches great, or something, like, real half-assed. Sheamus is a bore. He's almost always been a bore for me. So having him squash Damian Sandow does nothing, because I like Damian Sandow. And one of the commentators, I don't remember who it was, might have been Lawler, when he woke up and decided to actually contribute, said something like, Sandow's got all the tools to win a championship, and I don't know what he's doing here, or something. And it's like, well, ask WWE Creative, because it's their fucking fault.
Yeah. Wago, anything to add?
I forgot Sheamus was on the roster.
Really? He's the U.S. champion.
Yeah, and what does that say about the U.S. Championship, or what does it say about Sheamus that I totally forgot that he fucking existed? Like, if I was putting together tonight's Raw, I probably wouldn't have booked him just because I don't remember he exists. He is the most forgettable person on that roster right now.
And yet he's supposed to be, like, the number 4 or 5 babyface right now.
Yeah, fuck, they can say that as much as they want, but it's far from being true.
I don't think they say that. Like, imagine Michael Cole saying that on commentary. Here comes Sheamus, our number 5 babyface.
Yeah, well, that's what all the reports say in the fucking dirt sheets, and if they ever are fucking true, but yeah, he's far from being top 10 babyface.
Yeah. Well, we had our second match between Cesaro and Kofi Kingston. Cesaro not sporting the eye patch anymore. And unfortunately, getting his second loss in a row to Kofi Kingston. I don't know what the hell they're doing here. Cesaro continues beating up Kofi Kingston after the match. Big E comes for the save. And I have absolutely no idea what the hell's happening. If we're getting a handicap match, if maybe Kofi Kingston's just going to back off and now it's going to be Cesaro against Big E. What the crap is this, Tony?
Maybe this is that mentality that they've had in the past where you can only give somebody a win if you make them lose a bunch of times before that. You know, they've sort of had this issue with that in the past. Like, actually, it's the reverse when people get Money in the Bank. If you give somebody Money in the Bank, they have to lose for, like, the next, like, 6 months. Like, every fucking match. If you are going to give somebody a championship, they have to lose before they win the championship. So maybe they're doing that with Cesaro here. Maybe the whole point is to make Cesaro look weak, and then that way, when he wins the Intercontinental title at Battleground, a couple people will be surprised. I don't know. But I like Kofi. I like Cesaro. If this leads to either of them getting a bump up, I'll be for it, especially if it's for both of them, because Kofi is not going to get anywhere on his own. WWE needs to back him. Cesaro, he needs the backing of WWE to be able to get that momentum back that he lost before. And maybe the Battleground thing will end up switching them both up. Maybe nothing will come out of this. I don't know, but I'm a little bit curious. It's better than just having Cesaro beat the crap out of Kofi, because then, you know, what does he gain out of it? It's Kofi. He never wins anyway, so.
Wager, you got anything you want to throw in about that?
Man, the more I see Cesaro, the more I just go, wow, they really fucked him up. He was so hot at WrestleMania time, and now no one just gives a shit anymore. I really think they should have struck while the iron was hot and turned him babyface. That Cesaro swing was gold, and no one even cares about that anymore in comparison to what they did. So,
yeah, he teased that last week, and then he cut them off, which the crowd still booed for, but now he's not even like mentioning it anymore in any of his matches besides that one time. What does he have? He's got that uppercut, but he can't even do that much because that's going to get a pop too. So he's got to do that stupid-ass neutralizer.
Doesn't he have, like, a King of Swing t-shirt, which he can't really fucking use either because he doesn't do the swing now?
Yeah, I mean, that Paul Heyman, like, gave him that moniker, and it makes no sense that he's not going to do it anymore.
Yeah, it's fucking ridiculous. It was one of the main things getting him over, and they really botched Cesaro, and I think putting him with Paul Heyman was a detriment to his career. Honestly, outside of CM Punk and Brock Lesnar, Paul Heyman has not been a positive to anyone since he's been managing again.
Certainly didn't help Ryback or Curtis Axel.
Exactly. What's he done right? Nothing.
Those guys, like, the best thing that ever happened to them was leaving Paul Heyman. Mm-hmm. And, like, making this tag team on their own. Because now they actually kind of have, like, a thing going on. They had nothing going on when they were both with him.
True that.
Tony, you were going to say something?
You kind of beat me to it.
Oh.
I was going to say the best thing for him has been this whole stupid, the big guy kind of thing. And it's not Paul Heyman's fucking.
The big guys. You know? We're both going to wear matching sock hats.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. Paul Heyman's probably the best promo in the WWE right now. He's just not helping anyone other than Brock Lesnar.
And himself. Because it's his client. We had our Bo Dallas segment really late in the show, and JD made this point, and I think he was right. This felt really weird to be having this segment so late in the show. He had a match against El Torito, of all people, and it was fine for a short little match. It was funny. El Torito and him actually worked together a decent bit. I think they could have a match again someday if they really wanted to. Bo gets the win. The best part of the whole match is he's going around for his victory lap, and El Torito is out there like shaking the cobwebs out of his head, and Bo Dallas just completely ignores that he's standing in his path and just bumps El Torito back down to the ground as he's doing his victory lap. Oh man, I am loving Bo Dallas. This is just so freaking great. If Cesaro doesn't win that Intercontinental title, it better be Bo Dallas. That's all I gotta say. Tony?
Yeah, this is a sad highlight to this episode of Raw, isn't it? That it's like, you know, El Torito losing to Bo Dallas is like one of the best things that happens. But Bo Dallas kicks ass. I love this character. I don't know why people are down on it, because I think that it's fucking hilarious, and I can't wait to see more and more. I'm really disappointed if Santino is actually retiring, that we couldn't have gotten a Bo Dallas versus Santino feud, because I think that would have been classic.
Well, if he goes into like a managerial role, he could you still face Bo Dallas, whatever his client is.
Yeah, it's not the same.
You know who Santino would be a great manager for?
Paul Heyman.
The manager of a manager.
I'm the one behind the one behind the one in 21-1.
No, I was going to say the Vaudevillains. You got this great comedy tag team coming up. Put a comedy manager with them. I think that would be a great pairing.
I think their comedy's too different. I think it will be a detriment to them. Those guys are perfect on their own.
I just don't know if either of them are going to be able to talk. Aiden English is not fitting for me as the talker. I love them during their matches, but the introduction that Aiden English does is not hitting home for me.
I think they're going to sink as soon as they get to a main level. I think that's the case with a lot of these NXT guys. They're great for a small crowd that's familiar with them, but WWE isn't doing a good enough job of telling the story with them. So, Bo Dallas has done well, but that's about it.
I'll tell you who you can pair him up with to give a little bit of personality to. It's not going to work. It's not going to be like the, you know, skyrocket to the main event type of thing, but it would help both guys out because it would give Santino something to do, and this guy sucks, so it would give him something. Mojo Rawley.
Oh, gosh, yeah. That guy cannot talk for shit. Matter of fact, no. I just want him to be gone. I am so over Mojo Rawley already.
It's typical. WWE finds, like, a football player, and they're like, yeah, I'm going to push him. He's big.
Well, they're already losing interest in him. They're starting to push that Bull Dempsey guy as their new big guy.
Oh, yeah, because he's fucking great.
Oh, God, he is awful. And I remember just like a couple months ago, Bull Dempsey was in a squash match against Mojo Rawley. He was the one being squashed. And all of a sudden, he's the big meme character. The
NXT... I don't get squashed. I am squashed.
NXT fans, if any of you are listening to this, when his music is Bull, just respond with shit.
That's good. That's very good. Well, anything we want to add to this Bo Dallas situation?
Nah.
Just Bo leave.
Everyone should Bo leave. WWE is no longer doing their post shows, their backstage pass. You mentioned this at the top of the show. It was official. They even were pushing it all night that they're going to be debuting the Monday Night War finally tonight, one of the big shows they were hyping during the press conferences for the WWE Network. They completely abolished their pre and post shows to SmackDown as well, and the pre-show is no longer at the stadium. They're actually going to do it as a studio show now. So cutbacks are very strong, especially on this front. I mean, it's a good explanation why Josh Matthews wasn't needed anymore if he's not going to be doing those shows. But we got a preview for the Monday Night War. It was exactly what you would expect it was. You know, there's footage of DX on the tank. There was actually this really cool little segment where they had, what the hell was his name? The old guy who owned WCW, Ted Turner. Mm-hmm. And he was speaking about how he would do anything to beat the WWE. I don't know what that was from. I'd never seen that before. I want to see what that was. That sounds like an interesting little thing to watch. So I'm interested in the show. I'm glad I could watch it on archive since it's going to be on at the same time as this. But I'll give it a shot. It's one of the things I'm more interested in on the network than most others. Tony, what'd you think about a preview we got for it?
Snooze.
Really?
I have no interest in it whatsoever. I've seen enough documentary stuff from WWE. I've seen enough of the same stories of the Monday Night Wars. There's really, I gotta imagine there's only a couple real good stories, and I've heard them already. I heard the Mick Foley one with the That'll Put Butts in Seats. I know DX did the tank thing. I know that Ted Turner lost. Vince McMahon won. Yay. Other than that, I mean, are we gonna really get like an entire episode dedicated to the difference between Glacier and fucking other characters like Aldo Montoya in WWE? I have no interest in it whatsoever.
I'd watch that.
Now, if they did a difference between Tito Santana and Ricky the Dragon Steamboat, I'd watch.
That'd be impossible.
Well, first off, there's no difference because of the same guy. And second, you mispronounced his name. It's Ricky the Steamboat. They do a career retrospective of the great moments of the old Steam himself, Ricky Boat, then I'm going to like it. Some jackass is listening to this show right now, and he's just like, what the fuck are these people talking about? I don't get these inside jokes. These guys are idiots. They don't even know who Steamboat is.
Or Tugboat.
Yeah, tag team partner. The brothers. It's like Brothers of Destruction, Ricky Boat and Tugboat.
Just like Undertaker Kane and Demon Kane.
Exactly. This episode of Raw Blue.
Wago, what about you? What'd you think about our Monday Night War preview?
Oh yeah, that's what we were talking about. Neat, I enjoy the story, I'll give it a chance, and if it's basically, yeah, today's episode sucked, if you want to get reminded of better times, watch this in the archives after the show.
Oh, that's pretty much exactly what it is. Recollecting the great days of WCW in 1997.
Hugh Morris. Good old Bill DeMott banging every diva backstage. You know what's happening.
Our main event of the evening was John Cena versus Seth Rollins. At the very beginning of the match, I thought it was really cool where the crowd was just getting super excited behind the moment and doing the let's go Cena, Cena sucks. And John Cena's just like, yeah, you ready for this, Rollins? This is the big time. Let's go. And there's a lot of truth to that. This is Rollins' first time in a solo match in the main event of a big show. And this was a sink or swim time for him. And just like the last sink or swim time, I really do not think he met the challenge. This was a really stupid main event match, as main event matches have been the last number of months, so maybe he did do the right thing. But the match ended with Kane coming out, interrupting the match. This ended up going into a whole schmoz. Orton and Kane beat up Cena for a bit. Roman Reigns comes out for the save. There's a moment where Rollins tries to attempt to the cash in the Money in the Bank, but Dean Ambrose stops him. Cena and Roman Reigns do a bunch of finishers on everybody. And the part I actually really liked about this whole segment was at the very, very end, before we faded to black, where Roman Reigns and John Cena were trading, lifting up each other's hands as the crowd cheered Roman Reigns and booed John Cena. That was gold. That was a true moment. That's the only one true moment I'm going to take away from this Raw. And I think that's actually something that someday you're going to be able to play on some type of retrospective DVD of Roman Reigns, or a look back at the Shield or whatever it is. I think that's going to be a big, big pinpoint throughout all that. But get your guys' thoughts about this whole segment, Wago.
I thought the match was just an average television match, and Seth Rollins did not look like a main eventer in this match. Mm-mm. It was like watching John Cena versus David Otunga again, or some fucking random guy they put in there with him. It's not like when he wrestled Cesaro and Cesaro looked like the shit in there. It's just Seth Rollins looking like an angry homeless teenager fighting him. So it was a shame. I think they could have gave Rollins more offense, and I don't know if that was the road agents putting that together, or if it was just the way him and Cena put the match together. The high point of this whole segment was the ending with Roman Reigns looking like a badass as per usual. So, yeah, I like the whole thing that you mentioned with Roman Reigns and John Cena trading, lifting each other's arms. It was a cool moment, and it's starting to put the wheels in motion that Roman Reigns is the next big thing.
It's the start of the passing of the torch. That's exactly what it was. It was that first sign that John Cena is passing that over to Roman Reigns there. I had a joke. I can't remember. Oh, if we look back on the Shield, I guess we could say Seth Rollins was not the pick of the litter.
Terrible.
Tony, what'd you think about our last segment?
I really didn't pay much attention to the match itself, and I'm not really that fond of the ending like you guys are. I don't think that was really that special, and I'm definitely not looking forward to the new show on WWE Network where they do the best retrospective hand raises of all time and have to go through that all fucking archive footage on that, too.
Got to do countdown. We got to have, like, when The Rock raised John Cena's hand at WrestleMania 29, because that was so awesome, right?
Yeah, then we'll do normal WWE countdown rules where just because they're newer, people vote for them and they end up getting higher up on the list than they deserve to be. Mm. I'm looking at you, Randy Orton, being above fucking DiBiase and Piper for the villains list. Yeah, this was just kind of mad at me. It's a typical end of Raw. It's, you know, somebody celebrates and they wait until next week before anything happens. Next week, Teddy Long's going to come out and he's going to say that there's a six-man tag match with Ambrose, Reigns, and Cena against Randy Orton, good old Demon Kane, and Seth Rollins. And then we're going to do the same thing all over again.
Pretty sure Teddy Long got fired.
He'll still come out and do it. It'll just be like in the crowd, like Vladimir and Rich, the WWE sign guy, and that other sign guy who's like parallel Rich.
And John Stewart was there last week, and Brock Lesnar guy.
Yeah, Brock Lesnar guy, and what's the name of the dude that was all shocked at WrestleMania when Undertaker lost? You could get him in there, Angry Miz Girl. Like, they could all just be in the same skybox, and Teddy Long could just kind of be like, tag match, I want tag match. And then they'll do it, and we'll waste time, and then Battleground will happen.
How the fuck did we start talking about people in the crowd again?
This is how bad the show is. I mean, we fucking went on a tyrant about Jerry Lawler.
We went on a tyrant.
Yeah. Is that what I said?
We got this dictator, right? We started.
Yeah, his name's Führer Payton.
I'm pretty sure we need to start talking about the armadillo from Invasion USA instead.
Oh, let's end this. Let's do the good, bad, and the ugly from tonight's Raw. Yes, it's time for the good, the bad, and the ugly, where we talk about what our favorite part of the show was, our least favorite part of the show, and what we thought was the most embarrassing part of the show to have to watch. So let me ask you guys, what was your good, bad, and ugly, Tony?
I've got a couple little notes of things that I liked throughout the night, and they're really so small that none of them are standouts. I liked Brett Screwed Brett, that little reference that JBL threw out there. And Luke Harper has a vicious power bomb, that bounce of Jimmy Uso or Jey Uso or whatever one it is. That was cool. But really, the standout when it comes to the good, and it's so depressing that this ends up having to be, you know, the best part of the entire night, Bo Dallas bumping into El Torito. That was the first time I actually just kind of like chuckled tonight. And the only smile that was really put on my face throughout the whole episode.
How could anybody not have like just go,
right?
There's a single person in this world that just go at that moment, just like even just a little bit, that right. You're not human.
A little smirk. That's all. That's all you need. The bad, I'm going to go with Alicia Fox versus Nikki Bella. And I'm also kind of going to throw in there, it's bad that I can't think of a good pun to go with the whole one hand tied behind your back and the chicks looked hot, one hand typing on the keyboard. I don't know. You know where I'm going with this. That's the bad part, is that I can't think of a good pun with it. And
we'll,
the ugly.
We'll ask Mobile Sensation. He's got all the good jokes.
Yeah. Think of one for next week, Mobile Sensation, and we'll go back and talk about that. The ugly, it's a tie. And it's both under the umbrella term of repetition. Number one is WWE Network. Free trial. WWE Network. Free trial. As you guys know, free trial or whatever. Fuck, I don't care. I'm not going to get the free trial. And the other one with repetition, and this is more embarrassing because at least with the network one, they've been having some budget cuts and they really want to make sure that they get the new subscriptions and all that. This one is really bad, and that's Jerry Lawler has gotten to a point now where he doesn't just act stupid for the sake of like a character. He might just be stupid because he must have said 4 or 5 different times asking JBL to explain the rules of Money in the Bank. There's been like 15 people have won Money in the Bank, and they go over this every single week for like the next 2 months that he has this. They'll be doing it constantly. We know that he can cash in at any time, and if he cashes in and wins, he's the champion. And Jerry Lawler, multiple times tonight, is just like, wait a minute. So you mean to tell me if he cashes in, it'll be a title shot? So bad. My God, man.
It's so disingenuous, too.
It is. It's such a shame.
It's a problem of this force feeding of stuff over the commentary. And I don't know if it was as bad back then. I feel like it wasn't back in the old days. And when I say the old days, I just mean like any fucking day. Pick a generic date when that fucking happened. Whatever it is for you. Wago, what's your good, bad, and ugly tonight?
My good's going to go to the Usos versus the Wyatt Family match. Whilst it was repetitive, we've seen it before, it was a really good match. So I'm going to give credit where credit's due. As far as the bad goes, it has to be that stupid Bella versus Fox match. Well, that wasn't a match. So that whole ordeal was ridiculous. And the ugly, it goes to Fandango.
Aww.
Yeah. If I had to go, yes, he lost the match because he stood on the table and started gyrating his hips. Yeah.
It's a pretty, but it's Fandango gyrating his hips. It's not like it's just anybody. It's fucking Fandango.
It was fucking awkward. The fucking only line that I liked was, oh, is he dancing for you? No, he's not dancing for me.
And it was like at that moment, I think, where he grabbed JBL's hat and he starts like fanning himself off.
It was fucking, that brought a smile to my face, but it was so ridiculous that it's kind of embarrassing.
All right, taking one out of the chat room here. 5 times combo saying the good was Jericho and Miz because he loves Jericho. The bad was Alicia Fox and Brie Bella or Nikki Bella because it wasn't a match. Took his joke, Steven. Bad Steven. And ugly was probably the weird finish to that Usos / Wyatt match where they tried to say one of them was legal and the one who got pinned wasn't. That was kind of awkward. Again, another time where they just have no idea what's going on. And as far as my good, bad, and ugly, my good, it's actually going to be something a little odd here. My good of the night was the three guys dressed in the front row as referees with the 1, 2, 3 signs. I always love when anybody does that and they play along with the referee as they're counting. But these guys went all the way and came dressed as referees too. So props to those guys getting in the spirit of the show. If you're going there with front row seats, you better be doing something fun. Like, I remember watching WrestleMania. I forget which one it was, but the whole show, there's this really lethargic and stoic looking Asian guy sitting in the front row, and he just never moves throughout the entire show. He just sits there stone faced in the front row no matter what's going on. He's not getting excited, he's not getting upset, he's just sitting there stone faced the entire show.
He was the living version of that meme of the disappointed approving Asian dad.
Yeah. My bad is Kofi Kingston beating Cesaro, because what the fuck? Why? I mean, 1 week is one thing, but to do this twice, at least they showed the finish on TV this time. Didn't try to pull that crap again. And my ugly was the Alicia Fox, Nikki Bella segment. Oh my goodness, just the whole thing, the match not having an ending, Alicia Fox still doing the stupid thing where she's pouring soda on people. Just end it. Total waste of a segment. And that's all of our good, bad, and uglies tonight. So there's only one thing left to do before we say goodbye to y'all in Mega Powers Radio Land, and that is to go around to everyone here, give them a few moments to say goodbye and tell you what's good in their world that you should be checking out after this show is over. So, Steven, why don't you start us off?
All right. For all your MMA needs, you can go to UDMMA.com, Facebook.com/UDMMA, Twitter.com/UDMMA. We just had an awesome weekend of fights with Frankie Edgar versus BJ Penn, Chris Weidman versus Lyoto Machida, and Ronda Rousey punching the cyst out of her hand. All good fun. And also check out Addicted to Anime. Go to Facebook.com/AddictedAnimeFans, and we'll have more news on that for you shortly.
All right, Tony, what's good in the world of Tony Mango?
SmartOutMoment.com is always good, so go check that out. We have our Smack Talk podcast, which you can find on iTunes and Stitcher and YouTube.com/SmartOutMoment. You can also find me on Bleacher Report to see what I've written for that website. And if you are interested in everything else under a mango tree, like FanboysAnonymous.com, go to that website or check it out on Facebook.com/TonyMango or Twitter.com/TonyMango or either one of those for a mango tree.
All right, folks, if you enjoyed this show, please join us every single Monday night following the conclusion of Raw here on Mega Powers Radio. WWE show isn't around anymore, but we still are. I always say we're the most interactive post-Raw experience. Well, now I think we might be the only post-Raw experience that you can check out. So please join us every Monday. MegaPowersRadio.com is the place to be. But if you can't join us at that time, the show is available in archive format for you to enjoy on demand very easily in lots of places. iTunes, Stitcher Radio, YouTube, and of course, SmartOutMoment.com is the easiest place to find links to all of those. You can interact with us all throughout the week by joining our official Facebook group. It's Facebook.com/groups/TheMegaManiacs. If you don't feel like typing all that, I'll be sure to put a link inside the show notes. Go and join that group, and you can talk to us all throughout the week about whatever's going on in the wrestling world. Hell, if you even want to talk to us about TNA, that's probably the best place to do it. Not making any promises, but you could try. And for that, we're going to be signing off things here at Mega Powers Radio. For Tony Mango, for Steven Huego, I am Mike Payton, and we'll see y'all next time on the Raw Post Show on Mega Powers Radio.